Romans chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, Whosoever believeth is on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and read your word and smile and just enjoy each other and the reason that we can have this family that you have given us is because of your sweet spirit that indwells everyone's heart that is born again. We come here, Father, because we love you and because the love that we have for you that you have given us, your righteousness, your saving power has been given to us, to all that believe. And we come together, Father, and just enjoy that precious time, and it brings a smile to our face and joy to our heart, and continue to grow us each and every day, Father. Please, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that today they do not put it off one more day, because there may not be another day. Today is the day of salvation. So please, dear Lord, just touch every heart today and show us your way and your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We look to the Scripture, and when I enjoy studying the Scripture, loved studying the Scripture, and as we look back to the 9th chapter, and you find at the 14th verse, also at the 30th verse, and then also at verse 32 in the 9th chapter, you're going to find here some questions. And what you'll need to recognize or realize that I believe that the Lord showed Paul what the people were thinking. And so instead of them asking the question, Paul asks the question, then he answers the question. And so he comes up with the question because he knows what they're thinking. He knows what's going on in their mind. And so then in verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Again, he asks the question and he answers the question. But then it continues here in verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. And that word willeth there, if you'd like to underline it, and runneth, it's like that I'm just going to think that I'm saved. I'm going to think that everything is okay. Or the word runneth is works. And so I'm just going to work my way to heaven. And so Paul is saying here that that is not, but it is of God that shows mercy. It is the only way of salvation. It is the only way to walk and enjoy life each and every day. Now we come to the second one over in verse 30. Same type of question that Paul lifts up here. He said, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, here's the wherefore, and that wherefore is why through what cause. And it's because they sought it not by faith, but as it was by works of the law. Now, that's the problem today. Everyone is trying to save themselves in some manner or another. They are not trusting in the Word of God. They are not trusting that the Word of God, by the Word of God, you hear the Word of God, and the Word of God touches your heart and changes your life. And we need to look to verse 17 of chapter 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so please that you listen as the Word of God is proclaimed. That is the only thing that's going to change your heart and bring you to salvation. You know, we can't change the cults and the other religions and that are out there. The only way you're going to do it, it's not going to be a church-wide revival. The only way we're going to win them is one at a time. One at a time. Taking the gospel to them, showing them the Word of God, and letting the gospel convict their heart, as we talked about this morning in the Sunday school class. And so when it comes here, each one of these instances that Paul uses here, each time we have a question here, it says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, Paul said in verse 14. And then we come back, and each time he is telling them it's not by works, it's by faith. And so you must proclaim the Word of God. You must tell people how to be saved by the Word of God, and let the Spirit of God convict their heart, and then there's going to be a decision that they need to make. Either reject it or accept it. Reject it or accept it. And once you accept it, it is wonderful, because the Scripture tells us that in verse 11 of chapter 10, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's disappointed. You're never going to be disappointed the day that you trust in Jesus. Never. So please, don't tarry. Don't put it off. Don't think it's something that you have done right or wrong as far as your salvation. The Word of God convicted your heart. You said, yes, Jesus, I believe, and I want to come to you and follow you. You are born again. You're saved. He keeps you. Now, let's begin to walk with him. Let's walk with him each and every day. And so the Scriptures here, it says, wherefore, because they have sought it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, being Jesus. For it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Once again, you're not going to be disappointed. There's nothing in that that's going to make you ashamed. Now, to verse 1 of chapter 10. I wanted to show you that Paul was building up, because everything that the Jews were doing, and also we have acquired that today, because everything that most are doing today is depending upon their own works, their own ability, their own mind to be saved, to go to heaven. You ask anybody, anytime, you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. I hope so. That's a very common statement. I hope so. Attend a funeral. A person that maybe never ever went to church in their life, wanted nothing to do with God or the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to that funeral, you listen to that preacher preach, they're in a better place, they're in heaven, because it's just, that's just the way it is. Well, that's a lie. That is a lie, and it's a lie that is told over and over again, and it allows those people that are sitting in the pews of those dead churches to have a false hope that they're going to end up in heaven some way without going by the way of the cross and coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That should be the desire of our heart. Yes, this is talking clearly, specifically, about the nation of Israel. And something's going to happen to the nation of Israel, or, you know, it has happened. They've been set aside. They've been put aside. There's going to be another time that they'll be called back and given another opportunity of salvation. But right here, it just breaks Paul's heart to know that these people had all the evidence that was needed for them to be born again, to be saved, but they desired not to. I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, of God, but not according to knowledge. You got to, you know, you run into a lot of folks and, you know, oh, they just, God has done this for me and God has done this. And I pray to God all the time and He helps me and He takes care of this. But when you ask them if they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they do not know Him. They have never invited Him into their hearts to be saved. They're just walking around with a zeal for God, of God, but not according to knowledge, not according to the Word of God. And so that's our reference. That's what we need to look at. And so as we look for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. There's the world today. There's all the world today. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. You ask any person in the world if they're going to hell, and you may get a couple that are not honest with themselves, but they're flippant. And, yeah, I'm going to hell, and I don't care. Well, yes, they do. That's the only way they can convince themselves they don't care, is to kind of joke about it a little bit. But I'll tell you what, down inside, they're afraid of death. And they know death is coming, and they don't know what's on the other side. And I'll tell you, the day that they die is the day that their eyes are opened up, and they see exactly what they're going to have for eternity. And they'll go to the place of torment until the final judgment, and then the final judgment, they'll be cast into the lake of fire, and that's where they'll be for eternity. Our whole concern should be, as Paul is here, my heart's desire and prayer that you be saved. Yes, he's talking about the nation of Israel, but we need to talk about each other. We need to talk about the folks we know, the folks that we cross our paths. Many of them are religious, and many of them have no idea. Their hope is that I'm going to go to heaven. I just hope I go to heaven. Well, you can know. You can know. And the Word of God, by the Word of God, we know the Spirit seals us. And so you see here, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They think what they're doing is enough. I'm working so hard. I'm serving. Everything I'm doing, it's enough. I don't need to do anything. It's enough. It's enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. The lies that are taught, preached in the pulpits in America today are leading millions upon millions of people right down that path to hell. Right down the path to hell. And that should, we look at so many things that go on in the world today. So many things of lies and deceptions and everything else. But our mind and our heart should be set upon bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that's going to change this world and their lives, is for them to be born again. And so please do not back away from proclaiming the Word of God. proclaim it, and let the Spirit of God convict the heart. And when they become a little on the uneasy side, and they're not sitting quiet, and they're moving around, and they've got questions, you know, I don't understand. That's the Spirit of God working. And oh, just praise God that the Spirit is entering, working to enter into that heart. And Lord, please that they open the door of salvation for their heart. And that's what we need to look to, and we need to pray for, and please that it come. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You see, Jesus is our righteousness. We cannot be righteous on our own. The way that a righteousness will come unto us is by us accepting Jesus Christ and having His righteousness. That's it. He has paid the price. He's paid the debt. That's what these scriptures here, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. That a man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from heaven. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. This is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 14. And this has already taken place. We shouldn't wonder about this. Jesus has already come from heaven. He has come, taken on the body of a man, lived for 33 years, faced a fake and phony trial, was found guilty, was taken to the cross, died upon the cross, and 3 days buried, and 3 days later rose from the dead. That's done. That's done. And so when we see here then, when it comes to this scripture verse, we have once again, but what saith it, the scripture says in verse 8. Because Paul is saying, and we need to say, the word is nigh thee, even by the in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It is right here. We don't have to wait for a sign. We don't have to wait for Jesus to come from heaven. That's finished. That's all done. We just need to come and believe it. And it says, the word is nigh thee. What wonderful scripture, what wonderful thought. The word is nigh thee. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Even in thy mouth, in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And look at verse 9. Now 9 down through verse 13 are verses of scripture that you hear many, many times. These are the verses of Scripture that they're talking about. But understand that as Paul built this up, as Paul brought this forward, and he was trying to bring them to a place that they would come by faith and trust in Jesus, and not by their own religion, by their traditions, and by the Jewish law that they had so long followed. All that was completed. All that was finished the day that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. It was over. They don't need to continue to do the circumcision. They don't need to continue to bring the offerings and the sacrifices unto the temple. They don't need to do any of those things. But the only way that God could get it stopped was in the year 70, which is only 10 years away from this. God came in and destroyed the temple. He destroyed it and let not one stone on top of the other. And he scattered the nation of Israel around the world. And up until 1948, they were in that state. In 1948, God begins to bring them back. That's the reason we know that Jesus is going to come soon. Because when we have the birth of this nation, the rebirth of the nation of Israel, it is just one step on God's calendar, and we know that Jesus is going to come, and He's going to come very, very soon. And so when we look to the Word of God, and we see that Paul has built up to this, and he continues to tell them, this is done. Deuteronomy chapter 30, yes, you knew that, you saw that, you believed that, but that's finished. That's all done. And so what do you say now? And Paul says, I'm saying that the word is nigh thee. It is right here. Will you please listen? And we need to say that to all those that are trusting in their own works in one means or another, trying to build up their own righteousness. My friend, the word is nigh thee. And then in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. That's it. Now, we follow right back into there in the 10th verse, because if you look, the things are flipped. The first, it starts, thou shalt confess with thy mouth. And then in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What comes out of your mouth when it comes to being born again, being saved? What comes out of your mouth must come from your heart. So you must be born again. You must make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can come forward and confess Jesus as your Savior. But only then. Now you can say the words. The words can come. And sad to say that most church people are, approximately 18 inches away from salvation. Because they're confessing it with their mouth. They're saying the words. But they have not experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring them to a place of salvation. They have heard the words, and yes, I believe in God, and yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, but they're as dead can be, because their heart's not been changed. So we begin here in verse 9, confess with thy mouth, the Lord, believe in thine heart. But then verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, God's righteousness, not our own, the righteousness that is in Jesus. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So once the heart has been moved, the heart has been changed because you're born again, then you begin to speak and you begin to share and tell people about the Lord Jesus, about what has happened to you in your heart and in your life. For the Scripture saith in verse 11, whosoever believeth on him is not ashamed. And again, that word ashamed is ashamed, and that word ashamed is also disappointed. You will never be disappointed the day you come and are born again. So don't tarry. Don't put it off. Don't wait for another day. Come by faith of the Lord Jesus. The baptism today is showing what has happened in the heart. Born again, now we're following in baptism, going down into the water, picturing the death of the Lord Jesus, and up out of the water, picturing the beautiful resurrection with the Lord Jesus. That is a testimony of what's happening in our heart. Got nothing to do with your salvation. If a person had died today without being baptized, you've missed the opportunity of following the first command God has given us as believers. So you've missed that opportunity, but you're still born again. You're still saved. You're in the house of God, in the universal house. You're saved. And please, come by faith to the Lord Jesus, so you will never be a saint. And God very clearly here, for there's no difference between the Jews and the Greeks, because this was the problem. And see, there was a problem here, because Paul was taking the gospel to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. And to take the Word of God, using the Old Testament, and taking the Word of God to the Gentiles, and saying, you can just be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Jews are saying, wait a minute here. You got to join us. You got to join. You can't just go out there and be saved. And you can't do that. You've got to join us. You've got to be circumcised. And you've got to do this. And you've got to do this. What are you preaching, Paul? What are you telling these people? Well, he's telling them the truth. And so it's a great lesson for the Gentiles that they will believe and come by faith to Jesus. But it's also a good lesson for the Jews. Paul is saying, I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew of Jews. But I have seen the light, and I know that Jesus is the only way. And all the rest of it has went away. Please, it's all fulfilled. Jesus has come. Please, trust in the Lord Jesus. For the Lord, the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a simple, beautiful message. A simple, beautiful message. Let's not complicate it. Let's not add to it. Let's take God's precious, simple word out to a lost and dying world and tell them, you must be born again. You know, it breaks your heart when you see, the church I was raised in, the church we went to right after we were married, that they are lost and they're dying because they do not follow the Word of God. They follow their own righteousness. Most of you folks were raised the same way. You were raised in a church that did not preach the gospel, and thank God that you have found the gospel by some means. Somebody brought you the gospel. Some preacher preached the gospel that you were under, and you said yes. You said yes, and begin that wonderful walk each and every day. So please trust in Jesus today. Follow after Him. Each time Paul would ask a question of what they were thinking about, and then he would answer the question. And every time they were thinking about something with the law and something with the Jewish law that they were to fulfill and to use, and each time he says, no, it's not by your own righteousness. It is by the righteousness that you are given through Jesus Christ when you come by faith to Him. Be born again. Be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's close with that. Father, thank You today that we can come into Your house, proclaim Your precious word. It's been a joy, Father, looking at the Ethiopian eunuch and looking at Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now on to chapter 9 and 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's no simpler than that. Man has complicated it and add their thoughts and their works to it. And all they have done is taken the power of the Holy Spirit away. And Father, we never want to do that. We want Your Spirit to come and be here with us, convict the hearts of all that are here, and show us Your way and will. Father, thank You again for this day. Thank You for this precious time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.